God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and welcome to Revelation. I'm glad you're here today because we're in the midst of a fantastic teaching series called Thrive. For the last few weeks, we've been seeing how God wants to give us a full and fabulous life. In fact, in John 10:10, Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness, more and better life than you ever dreamed of." Imagine what that means. It means no matter how big your dream, Jesus has a bigger dream for you. No matter how great your plans for life are, Jesus has a better plan. Today, our message is Thrive in Relationships. Now, I'm sure you're all aware of how important relationships are in life. We all have them, and we all need them. We can't live without them. But even though relationships are an everyday part of life, most people don't ever take time to find out how to get along with other people. We stumble along with our relationships, but often make mistakes and end up hurting people and hurting ourselves. So how can we move the stone of misunderstanding from the road and get to the treasure of what God has for us? How can we thrive in our relationships? Well, first of all, I want to make something very clear today. Some of you may be only thinking about one thing when I use the word relationship. You're thinking about the Facebook definition of relationships. You know, single, engaged, married, or it's complicated. By the way, what is it's complicated? Of course it's complicated. Relationships are always complicated. Anytime you get a man and a woman together, it's complicated. For the two are totally different. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and there's a million miles between them. I've been married for 30 years, and it's still complicated. But it's worth it. If you believe it, say amen. But today I'm talking about more than just romantic relationships. Those are important, and many of you are very interested in them. But I'm talking about every kind of relationship today, in your family, at school, at the job, in church. You see, we need a fundamental understanding about getting along with other people, because our whole life is filled with other people. And when you get that foundational understanding about all types of relationships first, then you can discover how to get along in that special relationship. You see, a lot of marriages don't work out because neither party knows how to get along with anybody, much less their spouse. And don't forget, when you get married, you don't just get a spouse, you get a whole family. If you think it's complicated with just your woman, just wait till you meet her mom. So let's lay a foundation today for thriving in all relationships. Our text is found in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, friends, this is one of the most important passages in the whole Bible. In fact, it's listed in three different places, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all record this important truth. So there's something very important for us to learn from these words of Jesus. It's important because it gives us the most important commands from God. But it's also important because it gives us the keys to how we can thrive in all our relationships. So let's begin with the first truth today. To thrive in your relationships, you have to start with Jesus. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God," and the second is like it, love your neighbor. You see, healthy relationships always begin with God, because healthy relationships are part of His plan for your life. In fact, you were created to connect. God wants us to have healthy relationships that are deep and meaningful. He created us to connect with other people. We can see this in Genesis 2:18, for the Bible says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to live alone. I will make a suitable companion to help him.'" God said it's not good for man to be alone. The only bad thing in the whole Garden of Eden was loneliness. You see, God is a relational God, so we who are made in His image must be relational people. We can further see God's plan for relationships in the New Testament, in Acts 2, for the Bible tells us they were a vital part of the early church. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. In fact, this is one of the key ingredients for a New Testament church. You can't have a church unless you have a deep fellowship among the believers. Great preaching is not listed as one of the elements of the New Testament church. A beautiful cathedral is not listed as one of the elements of the New Testament church. Good preaching and a beautiful cathedral are great things to have, but there has to be deep fellowship between believers in order for there to be a New Testament church. Friends, we need to get God's view of relationships, for it's His plan for us to thrive in every relationship we have. He has elevated our love for others to being right up there next to our love for God. In fact, it's impossible to love God and to not love people. Note that the command to love our neighbor is second only to the command to love God. It is like the first. It resembles it. It corresponds to it. It is equivalent to it. Why? Because when you love God, you must love people. You can't love God and not love His people, the people made in His very image. Many years ago, there was a Christian man named Daniel. He had one brother, and the two of them were very close. In fact, they were such good friends that when Daniel decided to open his own company, he invited his brother to join him as a partner. Together, they made plans for their business venture. They drafted a business plan and went to the bank together to apply for a loan. A few weeks later, Daniel was at home when the bank manager called and told him his loan was approved and that he should come to the bank to collect the money to start the business. Daniel dressed up and drove to the bank. When he got there, he went in and met the bank manager. But when Daniel told the manager he had come to collect the money for the business loan, he was shocked to be told that his brother had already been into the bank that day and had already collected the cash. Daniel was surprised, but he didn't worry too much. He left the bank and called his brother, but the phone was switched off. He called and called, but the phone was off. So Daniel decided to drive over to his brother's house. When he got there, he got the shock of his life. His brother, whom he trusted, whom he loved, had duped him. Daniel's brother stole all the cash and refused to give any to Daniel for the business. In one moment of time, Daniel's life changed. He had no money to start his business, but he still had to repay the loan at the bank. His best friend and only brother had betrayed him. From that moment on, the two brothers never spoke. They never attended the same program at the same time. Daniel was so angry, he wanted to kill his brother. And his brother was so afraid of Daniel, he hid from him. But one day, as Daniel was walking along the street in the city, he saw his brother across the road. And suddenly, all the anger and bitterness rushed up inside him. He ran across the street to confront his brother. But when his brother saw him coming, he turned around and ran. Daniel chased his brother, and the longer he chased him, the angrier he became. Finally, he caught up with his brother, grabbed his arm, and swung him around. Daniel was going to give him a big blow. But when he turned his brother around and looked into his face, suddenly Daniel saw the image of their earthly father in the face of his brother. And at that moment, his brother looked so much like their dad. When Daniel saw the face of his brother, his father, in the face of his brother, he couldn't strike him. All the anger left him. Tears started falling from his eyes, and he embraced his brother. "I forgive you," he said. "I forgive you." When he saw his father's image in the face of his brother, all he could do was love and forgive him. And when you see the image of your heavenly Father in the people around you, you will want to love and forgive them too. 1 John 4:19 sums it up for us when it says, "We love because He first loved us." That's why the great commandment begins with loving God first. You have to relate to God correctly before you can relate to other people correctly. Start with God's love in your heart, and you will love others. You can't give what you haven't received from God. You need to be forgiven before you can forgive others. You need to know God's grace before you can give grace. That's why thriving in relationships must begin with God. Relating well to other people starts when we relate well to God. When we receive His love and forgiveness, we are free to love and forgive others. That's why it's hypocritical to worship God when you don't love your brother. See, friends, we need to get serious here about this issue. Just a minute ago, we read 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. But listen to the other verses that follow. In verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister." The Lord showed me something this week. I had the image in my mind of people praising God, worshiping and singing and lifting hands to Him. And I saw God put His hands over His ears and shout, "Stop! How can you claim to love me when you don't love the people I have created in my own image? You kneel down with hands raised and tears streaming down your cheeks, singing beautiful worship songs. Meanwhile, just 5 rows away and 3 seats over sits a brother you cheated in business. You stole from him, you lied to him, and you took advantage of him. You signed a contract and you broke it. You manipulated people and used them to betray your brother. How can you love the God you can't see when you defrauded the brother you can see? How can you worship Jesus while you used the sister He died for and then threw her away like a piece of rubbish?" If you mistreat your brother or your sister, it can only mean one thing: you have not truly experienced the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. For if you cannot extend grace to a brother who has fallen, then it means you don't understand the grace Jesus Christ has given to you. The mark of godliness is graciousness. The more carnal you are, the more critical you are. That's the truth Jesus teaches us in Luke 7:47. He says, "I tell you that all her sins are forgiven, and that is why she has shown great love. But anyone who has been forgiven for only a little will show only a little love." Jesus was speaking about a prostitute in that passage, a prostitute who was worshiping Him. He knew the fact that she had been mightily forgiven would enable her to be mighty in forgiveness. For when we know His love, we will love. Romans 5:5 says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." To thrive in your relationships, start with Jesus. Then secondly, show love to others. For Jesus said, "Love your neighbor." Healthy relationships start with Jesus, and then they continue as we show love to others. Healthy relationships practice the highest form of love, always choosing the highest good for the other person. You see, that's the type of love God has shown to us. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is, I forgive even when you don't say you're sorry. I love even if you don't love me. I will not speak ill of you even if you slander me. I will help you even if you cannot offer me anything in return. God wants to take your love to the highest level. He wants you to grow up in your love in the same way that He loves. For God's unconditional love for us is the example of how we ought to love one another. That's the goal of our Christian fellowship. That's the goal of Christ's work in us. And oh, friends, I ask you today, where is the love of God in our churches? Where is the unconditional love that says, "No matter what, I will stand by you"? Where is the love that is devoted and loyal and steadfast? Where is the love that marked the New Testament church in the book of Acts? A love that turned the world upside down. Where is that kind of love in our fellowship today? For many of our churches are devoid of true agape love. People come just to get what they can. Pastors have reduced ministry to the level where it's a business transaction. Pray for me and I'll give you an offering. Prophesy over me and I'll buy you a car. But where is the love of Christ that preaches the good news to the poor? Where is the love of Christ that lifts the lowly and binds up the brokenhearted? Where is the love of Christ that seeks no glory except Christ's glory and no benefits except for His kingdom? Where is the love that Jesus described for us in Luke 6? This is what I say to all who will listen to me. Love your enemies and be good to everyone who hates you. Ask God to bless anyone who curses you and pray for everyone who is cruel to you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, don't stop that person from slapping you on the other cheek. If someone wants to take your coat, don't try to keep back your shirt. Give to everyone who asks and don't ask people to return what they have taken from you. Treat others just as you want to be treated. If you love only someone who loves you, will God praise you for that? Even sinners love people who love them. If you are kind only to someone who is kind to you, will God be pleased with you for that? Even sinners are kind to people who are kind to them. If you lend money only to someone you think will pay you back, will God be pleased with you for that? Even sinners lend to sinners because they think they will get it all back. But love your enemies and be good to them. Lend without expecting to be paid back. Then you will get a great reward and you will be the true children of God in heaven. He is good even to people who are unthankful and cruel. Have pity on others just as your Father has pity on you. Friends, this selfless love was on display a few years ago in a small city in the United States. On March 8, 2009, a troubled young man walked into the First Baptist Church in Maryville, Illinois, during the Sunday morning worship service. He shot and killed Pastor Fred Winters. A week after the tragic event, a journalist went to the town to interview the pastor's widow. When asked about her husband's killer, Mrs. Winters spoke only a message of forgiveness. These were her words: "I do not have any hatred or even hard feelings towards him. We've been praying for him. One of the first things that my daughter said to me after this happened was, 'You know, I hope that the killer comes to learn to love Jesus through all of this.' We're not angry at all, and we really firmly believe that he can find hope and forgiveness and peace through this by coming to know Jesus. And we hope that that happens for him." That's the kind of love we need. We need a revival of that selfless love, of that agape love. But the only way to get that type of love is to surrender yourself completely to God. For Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And friend, there's nothing more you can do than keep the great commandment. There's no other work, no other service, no gift greater than loving God and loving others as yourself. Christ calls on all of us today to totally surrender ourselves to Him so that we can walk in that kind of love. What is needed now is for each of us to examine our own lives and ask God to show us how we need to change in order for us to be the people who can be a blessing to others. See, it's not by trying to change others that we build healthy relationships. It's by changing ourselves. When we focus on how we can give, not get, that's how we enter healthy relationships. You can have this better life, not by grabbing and being selfish, but by loving and giving. You see, healthy relationships require healthy people. That's why Jesus told us to remove the beam from our own eye before we try to get the speck out of someone else's eye. When Jesus said, take the beam out of your own eye before removing the speck from your brother's eye. It was a statement not only about not judging, but also about the fact that you can't love others when you don't love yourself. It was a statement that you have to overcome the inner turmoil in your own heart in order to relate well to others. Let me tell you a story that illustrates this truth. Once there was an old man who was sitting by the roadside in his community with his granddaughter. Suddenly a stranger walked up and greeted them. Hoping to move to that community, the stranger wanted to find out about the people there and what they were like. And so he asked the grandfather, "What are the people like in this community?" Then the grandfather asked the stranger, "Well, what were the people like in your last community?" "Oh," the stranger said, "in the place where I come from, the people are very bad." Then the grandfather said, "Well, the people in this community are bad as well." And the stranger walked on. A little while later, another stranger came by, and he too was hoping to move into the community and wanted to know what the people were like. So he asked the old man, "What are the people like in this community?" And then the grandfather asked the second stranger, "Well, what are the people like where you live presently?" And the man said, "Oh, my neighbors where I presently live, they're good people. They're kind and loving, and we get along so well. I have many friends there. I regret leaving them." Then the grandfather said, "Oh, the people in this community are the same way as well. They're kind and friendly and loving." So the second stranger went on, was happy to hear those news. The granddaughter had listened to all these conversations, and then she asked her grandfather, "But Grandpa, why did you tell the first man that the people in this community were bad and the second man that they were good?" Then the grandfather said, "Well, what each man is looking for is what he'll find. His own heart will reflect in the lives around him. To the man who thought all his neighbors were bad, he will find bad neighbors here. To the man who thought all his neighbors were good, he'll find good neighbors here, because he will see in others the condition of his own heart." That's why I say to you today, get yourself healthy first, and healthy relationships will follow. Get yourself in right order with God, and you'll have right order in your relationships with others. Are you hoping your husband will change? Be a better wife. Do you want your children to improve? Be a better father. Are you looking for the man of your dreams? Become the woman of his dreams, and the man of your dreams will find you. When you start with Jesus, share love with others, and surrender yourself to God, you will become the person who's able to have healthy relationships. The world will tell you that by humbling yourself, you will lose. Worldly wisdom tells you that by dying to self, then you'll be taken advantage of. But true love, agape love, the love of God, can only exist when you surrender yourself to God. To thrive in relationships will mean you have to let go of bitterness and unforgiveness. You have to set your burden down, give up the offense, forgive the one who wronged you, and stop expecting someone to do everything for you. To love as Jesus loved, you have to be willing to be misunderstood, unappreciated, and even rejected. For Jesus Christ suffered all these things. To love as he loved, you have to be willing to take risks, to become vulnerable to rejection and disappointment. That's what Jesus taught us in Luke 19:26. He said, "That's what I mean. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up losing it all." But if you will grow up to maturity, if you'll surrender yourself to God and do what is right, no matter whether you get anything in return, then you become a candidate to know true love, a deeper love than you ever could before. You can experience God's love and you can thrive in your relationships. This is the challenge for all of us today, found in 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. Even in the tough times, with difficult people, do what God commands. When you don't understand and you don't feel like it, do what God commands. When you're not loved in return, love anyway. Do what God commands, and you'll have joy. You'll thrive in every relationship, through every relationship, when you simply follow God's commands. For joy comes when you start with Jesus, show love to others, and surrender yourself to God. May God bless you as you follow His command to thrive in every relationship.
Good Friday Holy Communion service on Friday, March 29th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The Saturday night Easter service, March 30th, will hold from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Easter Sunday services will hold at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. March 31st.
I am the first and the last and the living. I died, and behold, I am alive forever.
Experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Experience Easter at Agape House, near the ANC Square in Istanbul. Join us at Agape Land.
This program is brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry through the generous support of our partners. Watch Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb each week at this same time on this station. For more inspiration, visit our website at www.revrcw.com.